You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.
Hey, 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 it is Tuesday and it's on time. Welcome to another episode of Bounce Back Behavior. We're healing culture and spiritual power coming together because we are living proof that you can heal out loud the pain with no shame in the game. Okay, okay, okay. It's Robin Denise in the house.
And let's go. You know it. We here. It's Tuesday.
And I don't know. It's Izzy Key in the house.
Hi, hi. I'm always here. Always ready. Already.
All right, ladies. Now, let's get to work. So, you know how we starting this thing. We got to do the inappropriate questions. I know Robin Denise got something inappropriate as hell again. But, can we talk about last week really quick? Can we talk about the last episode last week? What? Robin Denise, you had me being the talk of my social group. Nobody, when I say nobody, wants to get in my car, especially not the back seat. Do you even understand what you have done to me by making me all vulnerable? Not everybody know my business. Even my professor said, if we ever have to ride together, I'm not riding. I will catch the bus or get in the Uber. My professor said that. Ooh. Meaning my professor that is over my dissertation is listening and like, I know what this girl be doing in the back seat. So let me just bring some clarity to y'all nasty people. To y'all nasty people all up in my business. Your girl has two cars. I don't have just one car. I have two cars. Okay. And so the business go down in the hot mama car. Okay. The hot mama car is the Jaguar. That's where the business go down. The backseat business. We're going to call it
room, baby.
The backseat business goes down in the Jaguar. So if y'all see me in the Jaguar, y'all want to get in the backseat. I understand. Walk. Catch an Uber. Okay. I get it. But the Ford Edge is the mama car. So we don't do stuff like that in the mama car because we got a persona in the mama car. But the Jaguar, we hot. All right? We hot. So for anybody that want to know, you don't know what we talking about, you got to catch the last episode. Go to our page right here on LA Talk Radio. Go to Bounce Back Behavior. Scroll down and you will see the episode we're talking about for inappropriate questions. That Robin Denise had me telling all my grown woman business. So yeah,
I think because I'm so. Oh, okay. Yeah. I think because I am so like out there and wild a little bit with my friend group. Ain't nobody come at me with nothing. They was just like, yeah, that's Robin Denise shit. Like,
so they said, this is normal. This is usual. Wow. This is business as usual for your group. And my group over here clutching our pearls, including me. I'm like, I can't even believe I'm telling my business like this.
No, the group, the individuals in the group, they might be clutching their pearls, but they know for me, they like, this is, I ain't surprised that Robin Denise done said some shit like this.
Not even surprised. How did that make you feel? Not they ain't even surprised, Robin Denise. They not even surprised.
I'm into that point in my life where I am grateful for the friends who understand you better accept me for me. And I am so happy that I'm coming to a place where I accept me for me. Right. Like it's been a journey to get to this place where I could feel like I'm just going to be me around whoever the fuck.
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's taken some time to get here and I'm happy I'm here. And it feels good to know that my friends might be like, that's some Robin Denise shit.
Right. But you know, for sure, I was having some conversations with people around the inappropriate question. And one of the things that came out was what we're talking about and what I guess we really want people to feel comfortable with. You're not the only one. A lot of people, it's taboo stuff. We just don't be professional all the time and we're not allowed to be humans or have sexual appetites and all of that kind of stuff. But we like, we professional, we smart, we intelligent, we make our money, we travel the world, and we like to do some freaky shit. It ain't nothing wrong with it.
Ain't nothing wrong with it.
Jesus, all right, so
let's get into today's question. Okay.
All right. Because all right.
Inappropriate question doesn't mean it's always about sensuality or sex.
Okay.
It is, these are the questions that make us think, the things that we be thinking, we want to say, but we don't always say. So let's get into today's question. Today's question is, in your current state on your evolved journey to this higher being of you, right?
Mm-hmm.
Are there still aspects of your body or your character that you find difficult to fully love, accept, or embrace?
Hell yeah. Hell to the motherfucking yeah.
Call what are they?
Audience, let me bring the audience in. This is the time where if you got something to say, we want to hear from you. Please feel free to call in at 323-203-0815. That number again is 323-203-0815. We would love to hear from you. And here, you answer this inappropriate question. So Robin Denise, break it down one more time so they know what they answer. And when you call in, caller, get straight to the point. We, you know, the show ain't but 50 minutes. So get to the point. Get to the damn point. Say what you gonna say and hang up. All right? All right. But we want to hear from our callers. We want to hear from this inappropriate question. Okay. Go ahead. Shoot it to us again.
In your current elevated state of being.
You had to put a premise.
On your journey of growth. Are there still aspects of your body and or your character that you find difficult to fully love, accept, and embrace? And what is that?
Ooh.
So I'm going to answer. For me, mm-hmm. one of the things that I am still working to love and embrace is my motherfucking hairline.
Oh, what's going on with the hairline? Because you a bald eagle, so I don't know. For the people who don't know who you are, can't tell. They didn't know if you was just, your hair was slicked back in the ponytail in the picture. No, she's completely bald. I got a bald friend. So I ain't never seen her hairline. I don't know what the hairline was. She bald, okay?
She ain't there.
She got fades and shit, so I don't know. So tell me about the hairline. What's going on with the hairline?
Well, heretically, my family, like the women on my family side, on my mother's side, it's always thin, right? In the front part, like just super duper thin and receding and balding. And so like, as I'm, for a very long time, it's been thin at the top part of my hair. And I have some, but the part of my heritage is very just soft, fine hair. Mm-hmm. And so put that on top of, it's already kind of thinning. Like mm-hmm. I got this bald rock, but when the hair starts going back, all of this in the front be real thin and the back just be looking real thick. And you just be like, what's happening? Your forehead start way back there. Yeah. So
so you get a little, what happens for you though? What happens? Do you feel like what people looking at you? You don't feel real pretty. Like what does that mean for you?
For a long time, I felt embarrassed by it. Like, oh my gosh, like it took away some of my womanhood. That's what it felt like.
Used
to have very, 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 very long locks. And I realized one of the reasons why I didn't want to cut them off was because it made me feel feminine. It made me feel like I am that long, luscious beauty, you know, growing mm-hmm. up, everybody was light skinned with long hair. So that's what that meant for me. And when I cut off my hair, when I was told by spirit, you need to cut this off because it's a part of ego work, I was like, so you just gonna let everybody see my whole face and my hairline?
Oh, wow. So you telling me I gotta just be comfortable with who I really am?
Right. That's what it's been. And it's still, and I know that in accepting this hairline, it's also part of accepting and loving my heritage. It's my ancestry. And something within there might need healing connected to divine femininity and to our hairline and why, like what stress was happening in my heritage that has this continue to show up. So like, it's also that work too.
Yeah, that makes sense. Wow.
I done rambled. Go ahead. I gave you time.
They say callers, we want to hear from you too. 323-203-0815. 323-203-0815. We want to hear your answer to this inappropriate question. And I empathize with you, honey, because like for real, as much as I love me, and you know I'm a strong plus size woman advocate, but that PUFA thing or whatever they call it, that second tire down there, girl, like we be having it out. We be having it out. And then it really be pissing me off. Don't laugh, because I know you're going to laugh. Because I ain't seen my private part in a long time. It's like a curtain.
Not a curtain. See, I wasn't going to laugh, but then you're going to say it's like a curtain. What the fuck?
It's like a curtain. Like you got to lift the veil to go into the holies of holies. What is behind the veil, girl? Listen, I'm still fighting with that thing, but I'm really working hard to try to minimize it, especially with, you know, like my back issues that I've been having. They said because I don't have a core that I need to really work on doing some core work, which is going to also transition us to the plus side of love segment. So,
let's go.
Yeah, like, okay. So I can play the clip for copyright reasons. I really wanted to play the clip, but there was this, you know, very thick, curvaceous Hispanic chick a few weeks ago put out a TikTok saying, listen, I don't know why people over 200 pounds have they ass up in the Pilates studio. That is not where y'all need to be. Y'all don't need to be in no Pilates studio. She said, what happened to our fucking standards? Our standards are so low that big women are up in the Pilates studio, like yuck. And then she had the nerve to say, sorry, but not sorry. And she said it was such a nasty ass disposition. It was crazy. It was really crazy. And as old as I am, I still get triggered. I get really triggered by fatphobic crap because I just still can't believe after all these years and all these time and that people still are so uncomfortable with different body shapes, sizes, and color. Like, it's just like, what in the devil is in you? So yeah, she said, we don't have a right to go and exercise and do no damn Pilates. Like, what we in there doing Pilates for with our big asses?
Okay, so you know, I be pulling cards and shit.
Okay. Pull your cards, Madam Divine.
your favorite guru and spiritual hottie. Spiritual hottie. Okay. Pull the decks and things.
Okay. What's the deck say?
The card that I pulled for today's show is from this deck called Grandma's Baby Black Gold Lenormand 2. Anyways, one of the things that says in there for this card is tenderness is the medicine for transition.
Mm.
And we are all constantly transitioning in our lives. We are always like growing and you know, many of us have that inner desire to just be better beings, mm-hmm. be happier within ourselves. Mm-hmm. And why are we not showing tenderness to ourselves and others? Like, to me, that comment to me says she don't show self tenderness to herself.
Exactly. 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 And not only is she not showing tenderness to herself, because you know, whatever, how they say, out of the abundance of the heart, the mouth speaks, right?
Right, right.
So that's an abundance of her heart. She don't feel like she belongs somewhere. Somebody has made her feel out of place, or she still is not feeling in place. And then she's comparing herself. She's saying, well, I know they can't possibly be okay with this because I'm still struggling with the shit I got going on. But what she don't know is we don't have to live by her beauty standards, and we not exercising and going to Pilates for her, you know? And just because someone is over 200 pounds, it doesn't have anything to do with their fitness level. One thing I learned a long time ago, because I used to play basketball and I was a cheerleader and a dancer for a long time, right? But when you stop doing those things, the same when you look at those NBA players and stuff, they all fit, they shooting the ball, but the minute they retire, they flab up or they get really big because their bodies are athletic bodies. And athletic bodies need to be working out and doing athletic stuff to stay in shape, or all that stuff turns to fat. So one of the things I learned was when I had hired a personal trainer at one point, he would do the physical fitness test with me. And I would do that physical fitness test like I was a size 2. And he would say, wait a minute. He would make me do it again because he couldn't believe my numbers and how I was jumping up. And, you know, people look at your size and they think you disabled. You ain't disabled. Right. I just got some mm-hmm. extra fluff. But the mm-hmm. shit still moves, okay? So he made mm-hmm. me do it again. And he said, he couldn't figure it out. Then he came back to me. He said, I figured it out. He said, your workout is like an out of shape athlete. I said, you got it. Is she still in there? She just ain't been moving the fluff around. So that's why I'm paying you. But people mm-hmm. look at you and just judge you and think that, you know, all we doing is sitting and eating potatoes and just being lazy. But no, I can run. I can do a lot of stuff. It's just certain things my body needs to move the weight. Mm-hmm. And sometimes I'm just not willing to do it at that length.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
So y'all looking at us in the gym, and even plus size people who are scared to go to the gym, because I hear that all the time. I don't want to go. I want to lose the first 45 pounds, then I'll go. Listen, if you don't get your ass in there and be on the treadmill for all of 7 minutes, and congratulate yourself.
Right.
7 or 70 minutes. Do it. It's mm-hmm. about following your bliss. It is not about comparing yourself to anybody else. And that's the damn thing we got to learn to stop doing. Stop comparing where you are to someone else's highlight reel.
Listen, comparison is the thief of joy.
Period.
Ain't no way I can ever compare my life experience to somebody else. There may be similarities, but there is nothing, it's never going to look exactly the same. That's what comparison is, something that looks exactly the same, and that ain't possible.
It is not possible. It's not possible.
And it's going to steal every bit of your bliss.
Period. Day. Well, before we get out of this segment, you know I got to tell you how the story ends. Oh, girl. Miss the 200, you 200 plus pounds. And y'all can go Google it. It's on YouTube. It's on TikTok. You can go Google it and find her. But honey, it got back to her place of employment and she was fired. Fired. She lost everything. And as she on TikTok, I'm so sorry. I didn't mean it. I don't know what got in me. I need therapy. And everybody like, girl, go sit down. Nobody cares. Tell them, you were strong and wrong. And now you lost everything. Now you don't know what's wrong with you. You need therapy.
Robert Denise.
Robert Denise. Here's the thing. So when I first said that whole tenderness piece, right? Tenderness is the medicine for transition. And recognizing that there was a lack of self-tenderness for her. Like, when I mentioned that, that also brought in my own, like, compassion. Like, I'm sad for you. You know what I mean? Like, from a place of love, like, damn, I'm sad for you that you out here showing so much venom towards others because you reflecting that back to yourself. So I'm sad for you. Like, I have compassion for you. And that means that, like, I didn't want you to lose your job. That was a consequence of your actions.
Mm-hmm.
And that further extends my love for this mm-hmm. person, because knowing that if I love you, it's mean I'm loving me, because I believe we are all one.
Mm.
So I'm going to love you, and I'm going to love you over there. You keep doing the foolishness that you do, but that don't mean I can't love you from over there.
You so sweet and evolved. Girl, I want to scratch her eyes out. So I ain't thinking.
You're so sweet and evolved. I want to scratch her damn eyes out.
I'm not saying I approve of what she did and said. Don't get me wrong there now. I'm not saying I approve of that.
Yeah, you got such a grown woman perspective. I want to take them fucking earrings out, put on the Vaseline, and scratch her little damn eyes out. How about just sit on her ass and suffocate her for a minute and tell her this is why I go to Pilates.
Now you lift up the curtain
and drop it on her damn face. Oh, we ain't no good. Izzy, take us out of here with the bias breakdown report. Izzy,
I see you guys do need a segue, so I am here. It's going a little down the street to the left, taking a right. Anywho, what if I told y'all that some fans sleep outside for 2 days just to see their favorite artist?
Wait, what?
Nah.
Exactly.
Nah,
sleep outside for 2 days.
Dude, rain.
They got to blow up bed.
No.
They got a lamp heat. What you doing?
All the above. Little mini fridge. Switching out with friends. But that's what they do in the K-pop world. Just to introduce it, I'm Izzy, and this is The Bias Breakdown, where I unpack K-pop and culture from a Black girl's lens. Today, we're going to break down concert culture in America, the way K-pop fans do it, and the way fans of R&B, rap, or even pop concerts do it, or pop artists do it in the U.S. Let's just say the difference is a little bit wild. So let's set the scene. I've personally been to both. I've been to about 5 K-pop concerts, like J-Hope from BTS, P1 Harmony, aespa, which is a girl group, and I've been to a lot of those. And I've also been to Western artists like Megan Thee Stallion, which is my favorite rapper. I've been to Metro Boomin and Future. I've been to other artists like Why Don't We, and a lot of great other artists like that. And so let's first talk about K-pop fans in America. Number one, like I said, they camp outside. Now, the reason they're camping, this could be for barrier spots when they get in the concert. Some concerts are fully general admission, and they want to be at that barrier. So they'll camp outside for 2 days, stinking and all, just to be at that barrier. And then sometimes they want unlimited merch. Sometimes they just want to be in the front of the line. So some fans sleep outside, rain or shine. And I saw this firsthand when I saw J-Hope in Oakland this past March. The line was around the stadium, and they were all just there. Some people even got their day of at 3 a.m. and set up.
Wait. What is he giving out something free? Like, what kind of star power is this?
That's the star power, especially for K-pop. For J-Hope specifically, each stop of his tour had a special little acorn teddy bear. And there was only about maybe 1,000, 1,500 each show. So they wanted to be one of those 1,000 people to get the special acorn. And listen, I didn't sleep outside, but I had a friend that did. I got me an acorn just because of her. So thank you.
If he was like, I'm going to do it the Black way, friend. Hold my spot.
She got there at 6 a.m.
Through the Black girl lens.
Exactly. That girl got there at 6 a.m. I pulled up around, I think the show started at around, or the I had to be there around 5. I got there around 4:30 and still got my acorn. good night's sleep. Anywho,
in your bed,
in my bed, in the warmth, in the
warmth. Those of those who don't know who J-Hope is, who's J-Hope?
So J-Hope is one of the 7 members of BTS. If you ever heard of K-pop, you've probably heard of BTS. They have really paved the lane for K-pop within the Western music industry. They are built maybe 3-time nominated for Grammys, won many Billboards, been on the top of the Billboards, won many American Music Awards. They are just the most sensational K-pop group that has come from Korea into the Western market. And fun fact, they're actually all coming back from their mandatory military service this month, in 10 days. So I'm really excited. K-pop is going to be set back on track when BTS arrives again. But going back into it, so some other things to kind of wrap up this K-pop section. Some other things fans do is a lot of K-pop fans make gifts for other fans at the shows. And so what these things are called is called freebies. And so out of their own pockets, they will create keychains, make photo cards, which is little photos of different people in the group. They'll make stickers, candy, and so much. And they'll pass it out throughout the concert as kind of just a community and just showing that we all care for one another. And I've gotten so many freebies, and it really adds a level to the experience.
And then girl, I wish we would at a Janet Jackson concert. I'll be passing around little
not at all
little gifts from Janet and stuff. You could be like, girl, get away from me. Sit down. Yes, what you trying to get me? There's no blood in it.
You can be the change maker. You can start a new tradition, a new culture etiquette. But speaking of that, segueing to the more the Western artist concerts. So, like you said, imagine those things happening at a concert like Janet Jackson or Metro Boomin or Megan Thee Stallion or Chris Brown. Imagine that. And so there's a lot of differences. Some differences I've seen is for our Western artists, they're a little late. When the doors say they're open at 7, the DJ starts at 8:30. Then maybe 2 opening acts happen. The headliner doesn't come on until around 9:45, if we are lucky.
Izzy, don't do us like that. Don't do us like that.
Facts. I'm putting 100% emoji out there. It's fucking
it's true. It's completely true. And there be gaps between the opening acts into the headliner, like a 30-minute break. Like, we didn't need a break. Come on. You're just sitting on the couch.
You ain't right.
But here's a plus to that. You got time. There's no rush. There's no hustle. There's no bustle. And there's a possibility for you to see the next big artist. So, if you guys know Chappell Roan, who most recently became a really big artist back in 2023. But in 2022, she headlined for another artist named Olivia Rodrigo for her world tour. And now Chappell Roan is a whole sensation online, nominated for Grammys as well. So, you know, these opening acts can be the next big thing. Another thing at the Western artist is, let's see, because we know, like Robin Dede said, it's 100% fact that these shows are going to start late, people walk in later. Maybe you get there maybe 20 minutes before the show, maybe 20 minutes after the show sets is going to start. But the good thing is you don't miss anything.
Don't nobody better be in my seats either.
Thinking you weren't going to show up. Oh, there's an open seat next down one row. Let me go over there. No, I may have got here 30 minutes late, but I'm here.
Oh, God.
And another thing I saw is just basically, this is one, I think, a con within it for myself personally. So this mainly applies to hip hop and rap shows, but the drugs and the alcohol. From smoking to cigarettes to passing blunts down the rows, I personally can't smell the smell of marijuana. And so it's like a hot box. Like when I was at Metro Boomin, I swear I got contact high because 3 people had blunts surrounding me. And it's not shade. It's just reality. And that's personally not me. But I think overall, it really just goes into the cultural differences within the two crowds, the artist brain. For K-pop, a lot of the fans are mainly structured in loyalty and devotion to the K-pop group. Even in the US, this shows up in how organized fan bases are. And it's not just about watching, but it's showing up with intention. And then for Western concerts, it's more just about vibes and freedom, which I really enjoy as well. It's really chill, it's really casual. It's just a great time to have an outlet. It's about being there, not necessarily participating in some kind of organized fashion. So there's no right or wrong way to enjoy a concert, as long as everyone... Yeah, it's pretty organized. Very even sometimes the artists say there's a color scheme that people have to dress up as. Like it's pretty organized. But then, again, there's no right or wrong way to a concert. As long as like everyone's having fun safely at that too, the job is accomplished. You get an experience that is worth your money and worth your while, and you get to see your favorite artist, which is so fun. And I love concerts so much. And I think going to different cultures and going to different concerts definitely lets you see the perks and the differences between it all. So I have a question for y'all. Would you guys rather sleep outside for your favorite artist living or dead? Or would you wake up or would you walk in about 30 minutes late and with a drink in a hand?
Oh my God. Well, my favorite artist has passed away. So if Michael Jackson was going to be in concert, I wouldn't take a bath. I would be there. I would be sleeping all night, out on the curb, whatever. I would be about that curb life, waiting for Michael Jackson. Yes, I definitely would. I don't think there's an artist living now that I feel that I would do that for. What about you, Robin Denise?
Listen, Jilly from Philly, Jill Scott. My girl, that is my favorite artist.
Jill Scott.
Oh my gosh. If I would sleep outside to buy some tickets. Now really? I wouldn't sleep outside to get to the concert because I bought my ticket already. You see what I'm saying?
Exactly.
Or I would hire somebody like a TaskRabbit person to hold my space in line, like
until you get there,
for me to get these things for me, and then because I'm too old for that shit, like when I was like sleeping on the motherfucking ground, bitch. Like,
no, exactly.
I'm a grown ass woman, luxury. You know?
And these arenas don't be in the safest places either. So it's like,
right. Look, we go downtown LA and I'm looking like one of the homeless people on Earth.
Like, you're new on this block. Oh.
But I'm not doing it. I'm going to hire somebody to go do it. And thanks be to Holy Jesus and Universal Source Creator God for giving me pockets to be able to do that.
That part. Exactly. Let me tell you this real quick. I went to, Izzy blessed me for my birthday, and we went to go see my favorite K-pop group, NCT127, in Los Angeles downtown. So we stayed downtown. We was just ritzy and all excited. So she was like,
before she tells this, let me tell you a factor in the story. Okay, the hotel was 5 minutes from the arena, like a 10-minute walk from the arena. Just keep that in mind.
So she said, I think the concert started like at 7, right? So this is K-pop. But in my head, like she said, the breakdown, I'm thinking black concerts. I done been to concerts. It started at 7, but it really ain't going to start at 7, so we good. Let me tell you. We supposed to be there at 7. She said, Mommy, this is not black people stuff. This is K-pop. They start on time. She had me running and hustling through downtown, walking. I was like, can we get an Uber? It's just over there. We don't need no Uber. My butt stomping in heels, walking and hustling. And then when it got to 6, we got in the building. It got to 6, just say 6:58, 6:59 and a half. Izzy took off running. I didn't know where I was going. She's like, I didn't miss it. They gotta start. And she took off running. I'm hobbling like Miss Sophia when she got out of jail. You remember when she was out of jail and she could barely walk? That was me.
I had to leave her. She didn't know the
Sophia. When she was not lying, at 7 o'clock, they didn't have no damn DJ and no opening, nothing. The group, they was like, and now, The group started jumping up from the stage and they started their concert at 7 o'clock on the damn dot.
7:00, no one, no nothing after that. It was on the dot.
Girl, and I left that concert saying, Black people, we got to do better. They started on time and we ended on time and we did everything we needed to do. We waved, we rolled, we lighted, we cried, we hugged, we danced. They talked to us, they gave us pep talks. I was like,
the culture is different.
7 o'clock.
You'd be in your seats at 6:52.
Izzy left her mama, Miss Sophia. She left me.
The tracker for the K-pop boy came out.
Mm-mm. She ran up them, and I had to keep going to people asking her because I only remember some of the things she told me. And by the grace of God, I was able to find her.
Found her in the dark. I said, "Hey!" Camera one hand, other hand waving to her. But yeah, so that's the fun.
Listen, that's a whole spiritual lesson in itself. Like, you need to know you go on your own. Like, listen.
Izzy was like, don't mix it up. This is a K-pop concert. Miss Black R&B, Michael Jackson loving, Janet Jackson, Nelly, all them coming out 3 hours late. She was like, oh no. Izzy, thank you so much for the bias breakdown. That was too fun.
Of course, I'll see you again next week with something
crazier. But Robin, can you imagine me hobbling and this girl then left me for some Asians?
Listen.
And we'll do it again.
She said, and we'll do it
again, okay? Listen.
Oh, no.
I'm happy she left you. You know why? Because she did what she needed to do. She was like, this is my joy. I am following my bliss.
She was following her bliss and left her mom. Yeah. Oh my God. Lord. All right. Listen, let's get into the seriousness of it all. It's time to do some work. We always doing work, whether we laughing, telling our business, making y'all laugh and being real and raw. But let's get into the soul work. This is the bounce back behavior. And we're going to take it a little step further from where we were last week, where we talked about, do you ever really heal from heartbreak and betrayal? And I want to kind of hear from two different dynamics. I want to hear from Izzy's dynamic, because, you know, some people think that young people don't go through nothing. Oh, you ain't going through nothing. Back in my day, this is what we went through, you know. But I want to hear from Izzy's perspective. Do you really ever heal from heartbreak and betrayal? And if so, what are those tools? What are those transformational tools? What are the things that, the lessons that you get that help you do the bounce back? Robin Denise, I want to hear from you. Do you really ever heal from heartbreak and betrayal with your evolved self? Or do you want to scratch somebody's eyes out every time you say it? It hurts you.
Not the default.
Go ahead, Izzy. You swear.
I'm going to say, I think a lot of it is rooted in what you root yourself in. It helps you move on with the tools. Because I just heard that, I was talking to a friend about this the other day. But if you try to, if you are more rooted within just yourself and your own emotions, those are they constantly change and they're consistently fleeting. So that's not a great foundation to root yourself in. So like me personally, I root myself within Christ. And I think when I am dealing with heartbreak and betrayal, that's where I've been learning to turn myself to go to first versus then going into myself and shutting down or just acting on impulse. But I tend to try to go to the journal in a quiet space and try to connect with the Lord so he can guide my decisions. Do you ever get over it? I think it becomes less impactful, but I think it's always a lingering memory. And I think Yeah, I think it's always a lingering memory that just hurts less with time. But you'll always remember how it initially made you feel, but you can grow from it. And you can turn, if you turn it into a lesson, it's more helpful in the future.
Izzy, you talking like you've been through a lot.
I have.
D.
My days have been numbered.
I can't handle it. I can't. We can't even have a real conversation. Okay. She said, my days. She act like she walked to school barefoot in the rain.
Listen, Berkeley will put you through some things. You see Berkeley
a lot. Wow.
Listen. We're talking trust, trauma, and how to stop keeping score with your pain. Do you really ever get over heartbreak and betrayal? Miss Young, Izzy Key, gave us some real wisdom and nuggets about her life that she's had to sojourn through.
Exactly. I'm Harriet, taking people
all my life. I have to fight. Y'all are crazy. Y'all are so crazy. Robert the Beast, you ain't been through nothing. You ain't been through nothing. You always laughing and grinning and globetrotting. You ain't been through nothing. What you got to say? What's your contribution?
Woo, child. Can you ask that question one more time, honey? Because
Do you ever get over heartbreak and betrayal? Or is it some heartbreak and betrayal you don't get over? Do you really ever get over it? You know, people always tell you, just get over it. Just learn the lesson and move on. Is that real? Can you just learn the lesson and move on?
I mean, just because you learn the lesson and move on doesn't mean you forget. Mm-hmm. You know, it's like people like forgive and remember and keep going. Like shit hurts. Mm-hmm. I think it's always the perspective. It's like, how long do you want this thing to continue rummaging through you? If that makes sense. Right? I've had heartbreak. I've had people let me down left and right. I've had weight gain. I've had myself let me down. I've had broken bones upon broken bones where I couldn't even walk or run. I used to be an athlete. Well, I feel like I still am, but I ran track. I played basketball. I was on the step team. I've done all sorts of stuff, and I've been hurt physically, mentally, and emotionally several times. And at some point, I had to just say, who is the victim and who's the victor? Like, if I can't keep giving my power away to old stories, to old pieces of me, to things that happened in the past when I'm sitting here living in the present.
Okay, so I'm going to break that down real quick. What I heard you say is I can't keep playing with the old stories, like keep entertaining it. I heard you say that. Yeah. And then I heard you say you have to make it a choice. You give yourself a choice. I heard you say that. That's really, really, really powerful. Really powerful. I think one of the things I could piggyback with you on that is I will tell my clients, two things. One is you're either going to be pitiful or powerful. If you're going to be pitiful, you don't need me for that. You can go do that by yourself. If you're going to be powerful, I can help you with some tools and we can be powerful together. I can show you what the powerful life looks like. The second thing that I say is one of the biggest things that will help you is that you don't have to forget. But in order to forgive, it's living and moving. I'm piggybacking on what you said, Robert Denise. It's living and moving as if it didn't happen. So if it didn't happen, how would you be living your life? So let's go ahead and live our life as if it didn't happen. Because if you keep living with knowing that it happened and keep living the pain of it happening, it's going to linger. It is going to stay there. But if you learn to live as though it didn't happen, it's a different energy that runs through your body.
Yeah. And one of the things that I work with my clients on is like, what's your perception? You know, it's the same thing. Mm-hmm. Like there are so many ways to perceive a situation. Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. What perception are you going to take that's going to allow you to live through ease, through joy, is going to bring peace? Because the other perception that might have been used ain't been working, or it's been draining your energy. It's been making you feel X, Y, Z. So how can we shift the perception now bring in ease and joy?
And I bet you about to tell us that will place your order.
Yep. You know,
let's place that order. I don't want to hurt no more. I want the universe. I want God. I want Jesus. I want whoever on duty to hear me and answer. How do we do it, Mama Denise?
So place your order. Last week, I'm building on last week. So y'all need to make sure you're listening to all these episodes, okay? Building on last week, I talked about how we need to trust universal source creator, God, divine, Jesus, Lord and Savior, whoever your higher power is, trust that just as much as we trust Uber Eats and DoorDash when we submit our order to place for food items or whatever. Trust it. You put it out there. It comes back to you. You ain't over there helicopter parenting it.
Right.
So how do we know, right? Like those apps, they give us those like your order is being prepared in the kitchen. They be like, your order is on the way. Universe does the same thing. We need to learn to start seeing the signs of our order.
Ooh. Like,
right. Paying attention to your surroundings. A lot of times when I'm manifesting something, I ask my higher power. I'm like, yo, send me a sign. And I stopped saying just send me a sign, because sometimes there'd be signs and I don't see it because I don't know what the sign I'm supposed to be looking for. So then I started saying, I need to see the yes as this. I needed to see it in a songbird. I need to see it in whatever it is. But show me that in my waking life so that I know that my order has been received and you working on it.
Wow.
Presence-based living allows us to start to see the signs of our order.
Wow.
As you are seeing these signs, like sometimes you could be walking and you have a thought and you're like, man, that's really what I want. And then a gust of wind just comes through. That's a sign, baby. Or a song on the radio plays and it's just about what you was just thinking.
Mm-hmm.
There are so many ways that God and universe and angels and divinity are showing us that we heard you. But because we're so inundated with trying to check on the order, with trying to control something, with our ego saying, maybe that didn't work, maybe I need to do it this way, we miss the signs. So stop being in the past of what didn't work. Stop being in the future of what you think you still want and be in the present so you can see the signs of your order coming your way.
Wow. Well, that's a wrap on episode 2 of Bounce Back Behavior. Don't the fun? It's just when you're having fun, it just go by so fast. Listen. We show it up. We get real. And we did some work today. Thank you for listening to Bounce Back Behavior. And baby, let me tell you, the work is just getting started. We'll see you next week.
Mm-hmm. You're listening to Bounce Back Behavior, the show with Nakisha Michelle and Robin Denise, only on LA Talk Radio.